I was looking into how Paul would respond to an event like this. I think he did something like this to the Philippian believers with whom he felt a very close kinship. He wrote in chapter 1, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. So celebration has to do with thankful remembrance. And then he said, I have rejoicing in my heart because of you. So celebration has something to do with joyful recognition, thankful remembrance, and joyful recognition. And then he said, let's do it and everything will be complete to the day of Jesus Christ. And of course, what this event tells us is there is more to come. It should be followed by faithful dedication. For the few moments I have tonight, however, I'd like to talk with you about my relationship to Central Manor Camp. And I'd like to use the four S's. You know me, I always choose a word that begins with the same letter so that I can remember it without putting it down. Let's see if I can remember tonight. The first thing, I came in 1966 to Central Manor Camp. There was no side section here. There was only the center section. And there were tents along the creek bank and scattered throughout the camp. There was a speaker's cabin where four of us gathered, and there, each of us had a bedroom. Wives could not attend because there was no privacy. There was no ceiling in the bedrooms. And the kind of fellowship we had there is rich indeed. When I think of this place, however, I think that it is a very special place. For a ministry to continue for 125 years means not only that God's hand has been upon it, but it has been blessed with leadership down through the years as generation follows generation. I don't know why, but God has allowed me to have a conference ministry now embracing about 50 or 60 years. I've been to many different Bible conferences, and I can tell you that you are rare indeed. Many of the Bible conferences that once stood true to the gospel no longer exist. Others of them have changed course. But one of the things that has been dear to my heart is Central Manor Camp has been a very special place. And may I go to the second S that may surprise you. It is a safe place. It is safe because the speakers that you have chosen are people who are consistent with the doctrinal statement which you espouse. Though we are diverse in our methodology and our approach, we still are single-minded with you about the great truths of the Christian faith. This place has been, and we pray under God will be, continually safe in the Bible teaching taught. But I want you to take a memory walk with me tonight. Years ago, after a Sunday night service, Andy Telford and I would stop off at the Booker cabin where Mrs. Booker was still alive and have grapes and cheese before going back to the speaker's cabin. The next day when I would go back to the speaker's cabin, I would go by and see a group of young boys making new roads in the gravel with their toys and their earth-moving equipment. I saw two girls chatting together. No adult supervision, they had in their hands what they had been working in the craft work. I see hundreds of children and teenagers, and suddenly it dawned upon me. This is a safe place. This is where God's people can come and relax and enjoy fellowship together, knowing that they will be well cared for and that God's hand is on us in a very special way. It's a special place. It's a safe place. More than that, however, I want to suggest to you on my behalf of saying a word about the speakers. That's my third S. I will be bold enough tonight to say that if you would allow me to, I will represent all of the speakers from the day that Dr. McDaniel and his group founded this ministry until those who serve you this week. On their behalf and mine, we want to express to you our gratitude to God Number one, for the invitations which you have extended down through the years. Secondly, for the support that you have given the gospel teaching which has been presented. And thirdly, for the rich fellowship that you have enjoyed with us. Now, I would say that in the years that I have been privileged to be here, 50 of them, I've had an opportunity to know a number of the speakers. Can I just share with you a few of the eccentricities about speakers tonight? For an example, I think my major thing that I do remember was that one year Andy Telford and I were scheduled to speak. Now, you have to remember, back in those days, 9 days, 39 meetings. There were 5 meetings a day, Monday through Saturday, 5 times 6 is 30. 4 meetings on the 2 Sundays, that's 38, and then Saturday night, 39. Andy and I showed up. The third speaker did not. We never heard from him. Andy, I don't know if Andy spoke on Saturday night and I spoke on Sunday morning, but then they came to us and said, you fellas are going to have to handle the week. And so Andy and I spoke 39 times between us. I spoke 19 times and he spoke 20 times, and you still invited us back next year. All I can say is that is pure grace. And then it comes to a evening service, 8 o'clock. And suddenly, as I get up to speak, there is a power outage somewhere away from the camp. All of the power goes off. Just imagine if that were to happen right now. Now, I'm standing up here getting ready to speak, and there's no power, no lights, nothing else. And so the men of the camp very quickly get their automobiles and ring the tabernacle so their headlights can shine in. In order to keep the meeting going, they brought a lamp and put it here by me on the pulpit. I do not know to this day whether it was a battery lamp or whether it was a coal oil lamp. All I know is that I asked if anybody had a large print Bible so that I could read it by that lamp. When they gave it to me, I think it was a person who was partially blind. It was really big. But I was grateful for it. What I did not figure was the fact that every bug in Lancaster would head for this light. Now, mind you, if you were to draw a caricature of me of that evening, you would select Pigpen from the Peanuts Carlin strip. And the reason why is that every time that you see Pigpen, he is embroiled with dust and debris. That night, if somebody had done a caricature of me, you would never have seen my face. You would only seen a black blob of bugs around me that every time I opened my mouth, I got a day's supply of protein. I have never forgotten that experience. But there's another experience I need to share with you. One year, one of the speakers was a brother from Ohio by the name of Don Good. So that was Andy Telford, me, and Don Good, and Don Barley over here in the side cabin tape recorded all of the message. I came in one day and he had a folding table set up for the people to purchase tapes. One said Hubbard tapes, one said Telford tapes, the other said Good tapes. I didn't quite get that, but I even to this day, I don't know if Don remembers that, but I think and what you have to understand is that we who come to Central Manor Camp know that we are never quite sure what kind of weather we're going to have. So Andy Telford drives up in his automobile. I'm already here. Another brother is here. Andy opens up the trunk of his car, and here he has a camel's hair top coat where the camel has departed and the hair is gone. It is so mangy, I don't think a derelict would accept it to wear. We teased Andy, covered his books. And so we took the books, put them on the first shelf here for him to sell after the meetings. And there his overcoat hung in his bedroom. A cold front came through Central Manor Camp. It was one of the coldest cold fronts that I can remember in my experience. With the wind blowing across here, your teeth actually chattered, and it was hard for you to communicate. Guess what? We who teased Andy about that top coat, each of us wore that top coat in front of the people at every service, smells and all. It was indeed a situation where God humbled us in the most profound way. And so I have wonderfully fond memories of this place. And I would say, just in closing, that there is another S, and that to me is it's a sacred place. I know that people make the camp. I know that it's not just wood and cement and all of this. People make the camp. And that's the reason why that you make the camp. But you see, one thing as I stand here, knowing that my years are growing to a close, and I'm not morbid about it, it's just the fact of life. And when I look at the present and I look into the future, I realize that the generation that began finds its fulfillment in the generations that succeed, keeping faith with its fathers in order to promulgate the gospel of the grace of God. In other words, while we tonight celebrate, it is also a moment when we need to dedicate ourselves. For life goes on, culture changes, pressures mount, the gospel is attacked, and yet we who love Jesus Christ want to remain steadfast. During the Korean War, a Pulitzer Prize-winning newspaper woman was standing in the early dawn hours as some Marines came off the front line. It was bitter, bitter cold. And she hugged her parka around her, and she went over to a truck where a tall Marine with several days' stubble of beard growth on his face, with his eyes weary with tiredness and fatigue. It was so cold that his clothes were frozen to his body, and he was standing there eating cold beans out of a tin can with his trench knife. And she came to him, and she chatted with him for a little while, and then she turned to him and said this: "If I were God and could grant you any wish, what wish would you make?" And he looked at her, somewhat startled, somewhat pained, and then he said, "If you were God and you would grant me any wish I would ask," he said, "I would ask for tomorrow." And I thought how wise he is. For the joy that we celebrate today will be a new time tomorrow. And that tomorrow becomes another tomorrow, another tomorrow, and then another generation, and then another opportunity. And that it is for us to say, may it please God that this ministry of faith will continue unabated, growing exceptionally, providing a safe environment, a sacred environment, a society of people who love God, each other, and who translate that love in the community where they live and the churches where they worship. May the Lord bless you. And may this 125th celebration renew our own dedication to the commitment that the Lord has given to us. Amen.
Amen.
May I pray.